Chris Schultz, lovely to see you.
You too, Catherine.
You've gone all studious with some docos, but they look like rippers. Are you pleased with them?
Yeah. I feel like you could watch documentaries for weeks at the moment and not watch anything else. There's so many around. So I've tried to pick the biggest ones at the moment. The Vow is certainly a big one. It is 9 episodes, 1 hour episodes. It's a lot of documentary. But the topic's really good. It's about Nexium, the self-improvement group that turned into a cult under Keith Raniere. People probably know about this because it's been in the headlines over the last couple of years, mostly for the fact that some of the women under his guidance were branded. So that was the big headline that kind of broke this out and got everyone to know about it.
Physically branded?
Physically branded with his initials, yes.
Okay, where do we go from here?
So that's the good thing about this documentary. It goes right back to the start. They have footage from one of the guys who was in the group for 14 years. He filmed everything. And they've somehow taken 14 years worth of footage and made a pretty compelling documentary out of it. And the crucial thing, I think, is that you see why people fall into these kind of groups. They have footage of people talking to Keith Raniere and just watching him twist his words. You know, the way he talks is so weird. It's just, it's almost like word diarrhea. If you wrote it out, it wouldn't mean anything. But the way he says it and the kind of words he's using bring people kind of under his spell, and there was a little bit of that with a lot of the people that kind of came to him. So this group grew bigger, and the documentary shows the group doing some good things at the start. You know, that's the complex thing about these groups. They do good things. People with Tourette's actually had their problems solved using his programming methods, is how they put it. By the end, it just descends into some pretty horrible stuff. They follow people leaving the cult and helping extract people out of it. There's a mum trying to get her daughter out of it. And then they film these people as they take all her information to the FBI, and the FBI begins investigating. So it's a full circle documentary from beginning to end of this whole story.
That's extraordinary. And how did that occur? Was there interest from quite early on, or have they had footage supplied from members? How have they been able to track it through its whole kind of evolution?
One of the founding members, Mark Vicente, he's a documentary maker, and he came on board very early, and his task was to document the group. It's from its beginning. So he has 14 years worth of footage that he's handed over, and they've used that to make this documentary.
I don't want you to give it away, but so often these cults are built around a particular kind of ego or personality type. And do we learn about how someone can evolve, or do we get a sense of this person and how this thing became what it did over time?
It's good timing, because he is facing he's facing sentencing later this month for some of these charges. So I won't say what for, in case you're going to get into it and really dig in. But you do. I mean, like I said, the way he talks is, it's kind of overwhelming. It really affected my sleep. During the later episodes, they show you more of his seminars and his discussions and his horrible misogynistic rubbish, but like I said, it doesn't make any sense. It's just garbage to me. But it also got under my skin.
Right.
And you can kind of see why people would start falling for this.
Let's go to the next one. So The Vow is on Neon, Soho, Sky Go from Wednesday. So everyone's just about covered, apart from free-to-air. Song Exploder is on Netflix now.
Yes, this is a little bit lighter. This is a music show for music nerds. I am a music nerd. It actually started life as a podcast back in 2014. Ricky K. Shearway started it from his bedroom, and he just got musicians to pick a song. Didn't need to be a big song, just one of their songs that they loved because of the story around it, and he got them to pick it apart. And it did really well. He got Metallica, and he got Lord, and he got all kinds of artists, big-name artists, to do this thing. And now it's a TV show on Netflix, and it's delightful. He's got Alicia Keys. He's got Ty Dolla $ign for the first four episodes. But the episode everyone's talking about is R.E.M. Now, R.E.M. haven't been a band for about 10 years now.
I loved R.E.M.
Yeah, well, so the song everyone knows for them
in time.
Is Losing My Religion. And that's the song they're picking apart. 30 years old.
Wow.
And it kind of shows you how the show could work, because they take you right back to the late 80s, early 90s, when the band all had long hair and Michael Stipe had a bit of a Jesus look. And it's kind of great to see them back in that day. But then they show you them now thinking about the song, and it's quite moving, because it kind of became bigger than the band. It overwhelmed them. Michael Stipe, he actually can't remember writing the lyrics for the song. He almost kind of blacked out or went into a bit of a trance writing the lyrics for Losing My Religion. The record label hated it, didn't want them to release it, which is incredible because it became their biggest hit. So you can see how that could evolve into, you know, all kind of bands that artists would be able to do this. And I really hope this is a show that kind of becomes one of those kind of long-running things that just builds up a massive back catalogue of episodes like this, because it's great.
So is that the form it's taking? Are we getting, like, weekly new episodes? What's the form of it?
There's only four at the moment, okay. But I think it'll be kind of like the Chef Show, you know, where they just drop them intermittently as they make them, you know. There's no real rush to get more out, I think.
And finally, Totally Under Control, this is a rent buy option on Apple and pretty contemporary.
Yeah, this should be in movie theatres, but obviously no one in America can watch movies in movie theatres, so it's on streaming services. It's about $4, I think, to rent. Well worth the investment. It only came out on Tuesday. It was made in secret. And I think we've all been waiting for this, right? We've been waiting for a documentary that kind of sums up the last 8 months in America, and I don't know if I was expecting it to become to come this quickly, but if you want someone to do it, it's going to be Alex Gibney. He made a Scientology documentary, funnily enough. He's made a lot of big documentaries, and this is about Trump's handling of coronavirus. It goes right back to the start. He started filming in February, and he just kind of pieces together and picks apart America's response to the pandemic, which we know now was pretty woeful. He compares it to Korea, among other countries, who all kind of had infections around the same time. And there's some stunning stuff in this. He interviews a lot of kind of frontline health workers, doctors, people who were there as these things were happening. And the failings were across the board, you know, from the lack of equipment to the lack of testing to the political issues at play. The interview that really got me was a student who volunteered for Jared Kushner's PPE procurement team. And he went in expecting to join a team that was going to try and get all of this equipment from around the world to America's frontline staff. And he turned up and he had a quick introduction, and then he was using, that was it. He had to use his own laptop, use his own Gmail account, and he was emailing factories in China trying to get masks and gowns for American doctors. Like, that's how bad it was. So,
has he taken a macro view through to the micro? Like, how has he shaped it into a narrative and used, I guess, the president's own, or are we seeing the president's own statements and positions?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it unfolds on a timeline. He just goes from basically the start to now. He finished shooting the day before Trump announced he had coronavirus. It's a very effective storytelling tool, because we all kind of saw bits and pieces, but when you put it together like this, it kind of delivers a statement that's very cohesive and overwhelmingly negative in terms of how they handled this. What's that?
Is it a polemic, essentially?
Oh, no, it's not. It's very factual. I mean, it's all based on interviews with experts. It's, I don't know. It just makes me really happy to be living in New Zealand right now.
The other thing that I was thinking about this is, will it be released in the States? It's an incredible situation, isn't it? You have the LA Times running all these stories on the president's taxes, and now on his business relationships and who's been through Mar-a-Lago or whatever. Mm. You have documentaries like this, and you wonder how much impact they do or don't have, especially, as you say, if this one's on a pay channel somewhere.
You're right, yeah. And it's only been out for 2 days, literally came out on Tuesday, and it was made in secret, so there was no real build-up to this one. So it's probably too early to say what kind of impact this documentary will have, but, I mean, everything seems to be snowballing a little bit at the moment, so maybe this is just part of that snowball that makes people realise what's been going on there.
Yeah. Look, three great docos, and what I really love about it is that they are all on completely different sort of scenes. There's your classic cult story, there's your music doco, and then there's the story of the year, really, isn't it, which is 2020's I don't even have a word for it that I'm allowed to say. But anyway, sounds like good stuff. Recommending them all?
Absolutely, yeah. But do take Song Exploder as the lighter stuff in between. Take a break.
Yeah, for sure.
Can be heavy.
Thank you very much, Chris Schultz. The Vow is on Neon Soho Sky Go from Wednesday. Song Exploder is on Netflix now. Totally Under Control is Rent or Buy on Apple.